lost really what is attached to his name. And that's what this series has really been all about, is because when people see, you know, hear the name of Jesus, there's a couple images pop in their mind. They think Bible Jesus, you know. They think Jim Caviezel. They think sandals and long hair and a perfect British accent. Y'all know Jesus wasn't British, right? Everybody knows that, right? But, man, it just works in the movies. They think that. And then they think that, you know, oh, it was somebody, he was somebody that did these amazing, wonderful things. But it's almost like that was then, this is now. They don't really know what is attached to him because of only the religious idea of that name. They think of him on the cross. Listen, if you grew up Catholic, that's the only Jesus you really ever knew. I mean, you walk into every church, what do you see? Every Catholic church has Jesus still on the cross. I mean, seriously, and it's always the same pose. He's doing the peace sign with his hands stretched. You all know what I'm talking about, right? That's where we kind of leave him. And the thing about it is what is attached to his name is so much more than the religious idea of him. There's a whole lot more to the name of Jesus than just what you grew up in Sunday school hearing stories about. There's a whole lot more attached to the name of Jesus. And what I'm trying to do in this series is do a credit report on the name of Jesus. This is good. Somebody needs to catch this. So that you can see his credit score. Come on, he's got that, you know, what the high, 850, perfect credit score. Come on. And it's his name's reliable, not just, you know, for the sweet by and by. That name is reliable for the here and now. So that's what we're trying to do. We're doing a credit report on the name of Jesus. And the first week we talked about Jesus' name has all the power that Jesus the man had while he was on the earth. If you needed something while he was here, man, it was obvious that people did because there's so many people followed him around. I mean, with no social media, no internet, no TV networks, no cameras, you know, he still had thousands upon thousands. Now, I talked several weeks ago about the feeding of the multitudes that it says it was 5,000 men. So it could have been, the crowd could have been somewhere between 25 and 30,000 people if you factor wives and kids in there with them. And that's with no, nothing but people talking about him. There's no lights and smoke in a crusade hall. Come on, there is nothing but word of mouth, and people followed him around. All right? And he had all this power, and people would show up, and miracles would happen, and things would happen, and people would, you know, if they heard he was even nearby, they would send people to go get him, to come to their house, and they would come desperate. Rich, wealthy people would come and ask him to, oh, my son is sick, or my daughter is ill. And Jesus did all kinds of things like that. And we all got used to hearing those stories. Here's the thing. The name of Jesus has the same power that the man Jesus had when he was here. Amen. So, I mean, if you put yourself in any of those people that he touched in the New Testament stories, if you put yourself in their shoes, you may not have access to the man where you could go up and poke him on the shoulder and say, hey, could you come to my house? You don't have access like that. But what you do have is access to his name, which he gave us to use, that has all of the power that he had. Every bit of the power that he had. You know, if you are a business owner, it'd been awesome to have Jesus the man come in and bless your business. That'd have been awesome, wouldn't it? I mean, if you were a newlywed, wouldn't that be awesome to have Jesus do your wedding and pray over you at the altar? Who did your wedding? Jesus. I remember when we were getting married, we were talking about who we wanted to do our ceremony. And we had sent out invitations already, and we really hadn't nailed down who was going to do our ceremony yet. And we got a check in the mail, started getting checks in the mail from people, you know, to bless us as newlyweds. And we got one from the Hagans, Kenneth Jr. And Lynette. And it was so nice. I was like, wow, that's so nice. And then we got a check from Oral and Evelyn Roberts. And I was like, why don't we ask them to do the wedding? I mean, can you imagine, you know, who did your wedding when you guys got married? Oral Roberts. That would have been pretty cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. We had Ralph Wilkerson, who was Jody's pastor growing up at Melody Land, which was the biggest church on the West Coast for years. Yeah, really, if you've ever seen, I don't know why I'm even saying all this, but anyway, if you've seen any of the famous videos of Catherine Kuhlman on the West Coast in the big white gown, that was all because of Melody Land brought her out there, and they started doing meetings at Melody Land, and then they moved her to the Shrine Auditorium. Anyway, that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is it would have been cool to have Jesus bless your marriage. It'd been cool to have Jesus bless, as the man, bless your business. Come on, if you're sick, wouldn't it be cool to be able to go to one of his meetings? Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you love to have been the guy that got lowered through the ceiling? Yeah. Amen. Hey, man, what happened to you? They were carrying you around on a stretcher. Yeah, a bunch of my friends lowered me down to a meeting that Jesus was at, and well, he told me to get up, and I can't explain it. I just got up. Well, that would have been cool, wouldn't it? Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. All that power that the man had, come on, his name has now. Amen. So when you speak the name of Jesus or you pray in the name of Jesus, you're releasing the same power that the man had. Amen. That was a weak amen. The same power that Jesus the man had, he gave us through the use of his name. So where do we use that at? Week two, we talk about when we pray. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're releasing Jesus' power into your situation. And when you pray in his name, that prayer is then given Jesus' special attention. Like, it's not just like, you know when your kids are bothering you and you're like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you hear about half of what they say, uh-huh, uh-huh. And you just keep saying, uh-huh, 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 yeah, uh-huh. Until they say something really crazy. And then you go, what'd you just say? And it finally catches your attention. This is not how Jesus receives your prayer. It's not like he's sitting there going, uh-huh, 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 yeah. Yeah, you're upset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah, all right. And that's the way most people think he does, though. Like they're almost, like I'm just saying this. Hopefully he's hearing me. But when you pray in the name of Jesus, come on, he's given your prayer his special attention. You go, well, there's 7 billion people. How can he give me his special attention if 7 other billion people are? Listen to me. That's all nothing to him. He can give 7 billion of us, come on, his special attention all at once. And it is individualized to you in the middle of your situation. It gets his special attention. And not only does he give you his attention, but then he assumes the responsibility for that prayer. This one bothers people. Well, really? Yeah, when you pray in the name of Jesus, he's like, okay, I'm now responsible for that prayer. What does that mean? You're not. And if you're not, why are you so worried about it? Why are you freaking out about it? If responsibility for something's been taken away from you, what happens if somebody comes back and says something to you? What's the first thing you say? Well, that's not my responsibility. There's a meme of presidents, several of them, when they're changing office. First time I saw it was when Obama was coming in and George Bush was going out. and they're standing there on the steps. And Obama and Michelle, Barack and Michelle are standing there, and they look very serious like this. And George Bush and Laura are like this, and they're like, wait. And you could tell that they're so excited they're not responsible anymore. And they've gone back, and you could see that this is a history. You know, when Trump took office, the same almost the exact same thing. Donald and Melania are standing there, and they look very serious like this. And the Obamas are like pointing at the camera and like. And because why? Because the responsibility's off of them. They don't have to answer the. Listen, this is what happens when you pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus now takes responsibility for your prayer, which means what? You shouldn't be going, oh God, what am I going to do? You should be the one going, what's up? You're not responsible for it anymore. He is. He is. He's responsible for your prayer. He's taking your prayer before the Father, and Jesus always gets his prayer answered. All right? He takes responsibility for that prayer because he takes our place before the Father. We then take his place here to carry out or walk out what needs to be done here because he's not here anymore. So, that's what we talked about in the second week, prayer. When I pray in the name of Jesus, he takes responsibility for it there before God. I take responsibility to do what he was supposed to be doing here, which means he's going to tell you to do something. Why is he telling you to do it? Well, there's a purpose behind it, but then he also is telling you that because you're going to walk right into the and run into your answer. All right? Then we talked about last week, we can use that name in spiritual combat. And a lot of times people don't think that spiritual combat, I mean, that's kind of spooky and weird. The thing is, we're facing spiritual things every day. Every day. Whether you realize it or not, you know, when you say spiritual things, some people think that, you know, it's like Scooby-Doo. Like it's vapors going through the wall and beds floating across the room. And it's a scary movie because that's what our idea of spiritual things is. The thing about it is most spiritual things that you face aren't really spooky. But it's something that we're facing. Why? Well, because you're a spirit being. And so you're going to face things that are spiritual. And we listed a whole long list, and you can listen to all those, what we named last week of things that you face every day. But when I face those things, whether it's depression or fear or whatever, I can actually combat those things with the name of Jesus because it's more powerful than anything that we can face. All right? So now, I want to say today, I want to talk today just for a few minutes about why. Why am I allowed to use these things in spiritual combat? Why am I allowed to use the name of Jesus in prayer? Why can we use it in prayer and spiritual combat if we are facing things that don't change or we're praying and we don't see any change? What's the point? Anybody ever had a prayer go unanswered? Now, everybody's afraid to raise your hand. If you've ever prayed and it just felt like your prayer came back and slapped you in the face and was like, not today, Hoss. Anybody ever been facing something that's really overwhelming and you did try and speak to it in the name of Jesus and it just laughed at you and didn't move and actually just sat there and looked at you? And you felt like this is pointless? And we think, why? Why am I doing this? Why do I do this if it doesn't change? Well, the reason we speak the name of Jesus when we pray or we use it in spiritual combat is because we have to begin to believe that we are unleashing God's power into the situation. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how much does he back up his name? When you use his name, how much do you think he backs it up? I want you to open to two passages of Scripture this morning or follow along on the app. I want you to open to John chapter 16 But then I want you to hold your finger in there and flip over to Matthew chapter 18. Now, we've used these scriptures in this series quite a bit already, but I want you to see these things today. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is, does that say maybe? Does it say might? Does it say if you're good enough? Does it say if you held your breath and gave enough, you know, tithes and offerings and did enough good deeds and helped the poor? And doesn't say that. It says it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now flip over to that passage in John chapter 16. And let's look in verse 23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever. And you should put a big circle around that if you're in your own Bible. If you're not, do it on the notes. Whatever. Whatever. Now that's not a whatever. This is not something that is to be defined by somebody else. You ever get in an argument with somebody and they pull that out on you and they go, whatever. You know what that means? That means they're redefining what you're saying. You can sit and say, I mean this, and you spell it out for them and they go, whatever. That means I don't believe anything you just said. It means something else to them. This is not what this means. This doesn't mean this whatever is not being defined by Jesus. He is not defining. Listen to me now. You are. You're defining. Now catch this. I say to you, whatever you ask, the Father in my name, he, maybe, if he feels like it today, if you've done everything right, crossed all the T's, and dotted all the lowercase J's, crossed the T's and dotted your I's, then he'll do it for you. No, it says, I say to you, whatever you ask. Now that means you're defining. You're defining what you need. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, that's the key, in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy, come on somebody, may be full. Amen. Now I want you to catch this. Most believers pray using the name of Jesus, but it's only because they've been conditioned or told to. You could hear any believer pray, and they'll say it. And they'll use different versions of it. They'll say, you know, in your name, or the precious name, or the holy name. I mean, they use all kinds of different names. But most everybody says, in the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah. All right? But a lot of people know they're supposed to say that, but they don't realize that what the use of that name is supposed to do when you say in the name of Jesus. It's literally like, oh yeah, and see you later. We had a girl in the youth group in Kentucky when I was a youth pastor there, and she was so complimentary of people all the time. She would just see, oh, I like your dress, I like your jacket, I like the way, man, your hair looks great today. She was just that kind of person all the time, almost to the point of annoyance. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where they're just so complimentary, it's like you almost avoid them because they compliment you and you know you're having a bad hair day. You know what I'm talking about? And she would do that, and we caught her one time. They were, we had gone to a lock-in in Akron, Ohio. And we were up there, and a bunch of the girls were all laughing in the lobby, our girls. And I was like, what's going on? And they said, well, we all got up today, and Stacy looked at all of us, and she goes, just in case I forget to tell you, you all look great. And she was serious. She was so conditioned to respond complimentary that she said it before everybody was dressed. And they were all like, you're paying us a compliment before you even get started? Before we even get dressed? How do you know I'm going to look great today? Right now, my hair's on top of my head. I have on no makeup. And they all kind of razzed her the rest of the time, right? And that's the way most people pray in the name of Jesus. Almost like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I pray, bless this food, in the name of Jesus, amen. It's almost conditioned, okay? And a lot of people don't realize that what the use of that name is supposed to do when they pray. And this is where it has to change for you. Praying in the name of Jesus is not just something that you're doing. It's not just something that is tacked on to your prayer. It is not just something that is a routine. It is not just something that is just, okay, I'm done now. All right? The use of that name is supposed to be used to release the power and, catch this, the resources that are in that name so that what you ask will come to pass. It is supposed to release the power and the resources so that what you just ask will happen. I'm trying to let that sink in on you, because it took me a second to catch that too. When you pray in the name of Jesus, if all you're saying, well, I'm done now, so in the name of Jesus, amen, and you get up and walk away, and you don't switch on the faith of in the name of Jesus is now releasing everything I just prayed for has to have resources. Come on now. Let's say you're believing God for a job. I'm believing God for a job. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for a job that pays me, you know, more than just a decent wage. It's a living wage. And you pray and you ask God and you tell God, I need it to work with my schedule and I need it to work so I can go to church. Amen. And you pray those things. And if you just stop right there and just go, okay, that's what I asked for in the name of Jesus, amen. You walk away, you don't know if you're in faith right there or not. But if you understand that as soon as I say in the name of Jesus, what is happening? God is releasing the power to give you favor with an employer. And now you're being released with the resources, which means what? There's a job that is opening up somewhere out there in the real world. It's opening up right now. Why? Because you've just released the resources of what you just prayed for. And if you'll ask that way, what you ask will, come on, according to what we read in John, will be done. People are still unsure about this. really? Listen, if you ask believing that the resources have been released, the power has been released, then what you prayed is coming to pass. Come on, catch it. Get it down on the inside of you. Well, I've prayed for 30 years about that in the name of Jesus. Yeah, but did you pray believing that Jesus' name was full of resources and power, that as soon as you said amen, in the name of Jesus, amen, it was being released? Or did you sit there and have this image of God holding on to it until you get in faith? Because a lot of people, that's the way they view their prayer. Well, why don't I? And here's the excuse they give you. Well, this will all happen in God's timing. I'm telling you, I've heard that till I'm blue. I'm blue in the face about it. I'm just, listen, God's timing is right now all the time. The Bible says it's yes and amen. All of his promises are yes and amen. What does that mean? That means that the answer, as soon as you ask for it, in the name of Jesus, is dispersed. I don't know, Pastor Brent. You might as well just go ahead and accept it, even if it's by faith today. What you pray in the name of Jesus has been released, and it is here. Yeah. It is here on the earth somewhere. What? Your answer is here, right? It's here. It is on the earth right now. Well, how come I ain't enjoying it? Because you didn't believe that it got dispersed, but it's here somewhere. Now it's up to you to ask God. I mean, last week the creative team will tell you, we've been praying and believing for 150 people at Direction Church ever since we started. We've been believing for that for a while. And I changed what we were praying last week because usually at the end of every one of our prayers, we always say, thank you, Lord, for 150 people at Direction Church. And I said last week in the creative meeting, I changed what I said. I said, I don't just say thank you, Lord, for 150 people. I said, Lord, thank you that you're directing us for what to do in order to handle 150 people. Christians, believers, are where they are in life because they have not tapped into this power, but they merely hope for what they ask to happen. They just hope. They have arrived where they are. Listen to me. You have arrived where you are right now on your own. You are where you are in your life based on what you can believe. Most people have believed small, if at all. And they have a small vision of what the name of Jesus does. Now this bothers people. Well, I didn't do anything to cause that. You may not have caused it, but you didn't change it either. You didn't use what was available to you. We live at the level that we are allowing the enemy and challenges to overcome us. There's a lot of big things that we're willing to fight off. But then there's a lot of things that we're just willing to kind of accept and go, okay. We live at the level that we allow the enemy and challenges to overcome us or at least to live with us. There's a lot of things that we face that we will talk about. We'll talk about how big and bad it is. And a lot of times we do it with kind of a smirk and a sarcastic tone, thinking that that's okay. You know, I've really got this problem going on, but you know, that's just the way I am. I kind of live by the seat of my pants, and it just allows me to just make things happen. And you know, it's just, you know, I'm always in trouble for something. We kind of just like let those things happen. Now, there are some people that they go the other direction. They go sad. Oh, woe is me. Things are bad. I always just, these things always happen. I lose out a lot of times. I mean, people's social media posts will show you where they are. And they just kind of, and they're okay with it. They just kind of live with it. That's where we live, is the things that we're allowing ourselves to just accept. And when we accept them, they overtake us. Listen to me. Praying in the name of Jesus actually unleashes all of God's power upon your challenge. Now think about that. If your big challenge met all of God's power, what would happen to your challenge? Now think about it. Seriously, imagine that. See it with your mind. Imagine. If your power met all of, I mean, if your problem met all of God's power, what would happen to your problem? Because a lot of people never go here. They don't allow themselves to go here. They're afraid that what if it doesn't work? And then they're going to be heartbroken and emotionally, I don't know if I can handle that. What would happen if all of God's power met your problem? It would be beyond. If you saw the last Avengers movie and you saw people just turning into dust at the end when Thanos snapped his finger, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. You younger folks that saw it probably know what I'm talking about. It just turns to dust. It evaporates. It disintegrates. There's just nothing left of it. It would be like taking a sandcastle and leaving it there for high tide. Come on, somebody. What happens at high tide? The sandcastle disappears. And not just a little bit. It's gone. Praying in the name of Jesus actually unleashes all of God's power upon your challenge. And now get this. And approves your problem to be answered. To be solved. To be changed. Come on, somebody. Now I'm going to read you a quote from E.W. Kenyon this morning, and then we're going to close. I'm telling you, if this doesn't make you shout, then there's something wrong with you. This right here rocked me to my very core when I read this. But I want you to catch it. When Jesus gave us the legal right to use this name, the Father knew all that that name would imply when breathed in prayer by oppressed souls. And it is his joy to recognize that name. So the possibilities enfolded in that name are beyond our understanding. And when he says to the church, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he is giving us, somebody please shout with me this morning, he is giving us a signed check on the resources of heaven and asking us to fill it in. This bothers people, but you got to get here. He has given us a signed check on the resources of heaven and asking us to fill it in. It would pay the church to begin an exhaustive study of the resources of Jesus in order to get a measurement of the wealth that name holds for us today. Man, if you can't get excited about this, you need to get in the Word more. Anybody ever given somebody a blank check with your signature on it? Makes you paranoid, doesn't it? Because you're afraid they're going to go, $1 million. I've actually, a couple times in my life, I've had checks given to me signed but blank. Now, not for me, but to go do something. You know, working for companies and churches, I've been given blank checks with the signature on it. And I'll be honest with you, the bigger the church or the bigger the company, the more impressive a blank check with the signature on it is. I remember I was working at Rhema, and Rhema's a big ministry. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars in donations. And to have a blank check with Lynette Hagen's signature on it, that's a lot of responsibility and a lot of access to resources. But now here's the great thing about it. They trusted me. Watch this now. They trusted me enough that they gave me those resources with her name signed on it. This is the way God views you. He trusts you, come on somebody, enough to give you a blank check with the signature, come on somebody, of Jesus on the signature line. And now he's asking you to fill it in. He's asking you to fill it in. What do you need? Amen. And a lot of people go, well, I'll just be humble. And I'll just ask for a little small thing over here. Do you understand? You'll never, if we did everything that we could possibly want to do in our lives, we have not even begun to drain any resources or power out of heaven. Never. You would never exhaust it. If everybody in this world had every need met, every want fulfilled, nobody would even come close. We wouldn't even put a dent. It would be not even change. It wouldn't even hardly change the total. You know how if you ever do it online or on the computer and you put in an amount and you hear it go cha-ching and you watch your little numbers change? You wouldn't even do that. You could put in your biggest, greatest need, and it may go cha-ching, but the total, come on somebody, doesn't change. And this is how much God trusts you. This is how much God loves you. This is how much God wants for you. He's giving you a blank check. Why? Because you can't exhaust His resources. You can't exhaust His power. You can't even begin to make a change in it. He only did this to supply you. Why? Why? Let's go back to our original scripture that we started with this morning in John. Verse 23. In that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask, there's that blank check. Whatever you ask, the Father in my name, He will give to you. Until now, you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your, come on somebody, joy may be full. He loves you enough to give you a blank check with His name on it. Why? So that your joy can be full. It doesn't do Him any, it does not bless Him to see you crying. It does not bless Him to see you hurting. It does not bless Him. It doesn't cause Him to feel joy and proud of you, to see you suffering and barely getting along and facing things that are overwhelming you. No, it blesses Him when your joy is full because of the resources He's given you. Amen. Don't live your life with a small vision of Jesus and what His name does for you. Decide today that I'm going to change the way I look at the name of Jesus. Now, next week, we're going to continue along these lines, and we're going to talk about how can that happen? How can the name of Jesus, why is it so much for us today? We're going to keep talking about this for the next several weeks, and I've been telling the serve team, this is a game changer. When you have this kind of mentality, I'm praying in His name, it's like He's praying and all of His resources are coming with Him. Your prayer life, your needs, come on, will change.